Good morning. I'm grateful to hear a testimony of God's mercy. The verses that Greg shared with the kids tie in nicely to what was on my heart this morning, and I kind of touched on it on Friday night. I just want to continue on with a very familiar verse that's been a blessing to me this week. And the two verses that Greg mentioned there, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the other one that he read there at the end, too, about from Psalm 68. God is to us a God of deliverance, in the Lord, and to him belong escapes from death. And I think of those two tying together, that as we call on the name of the Lord, that's where we experience that deliverance and that escape from death. And that death, in this case, praise God, was an escape from a natural injury, a natural death. But there's obviously a spiritual death that we need to be calling on the name of the Lord of to escape from that spiritual death as well, in terms of the temptation that the enemy is continually, and the Lord is allowing that to work in our life. The Lord allows those temptations to come. And at the same time, the enemy's there seeking to draw us away from the Lord. So I want to talk about a verse that I shared and we've talked about often. Hebrews chapter 4 is kind of the key verse, but I want to talk about a few other passages. And so we touched on this. I mentioned this Friday night. I'll read this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Maybe I'm going to go back a little bit. I'll start in verse 8. The key verse is 16, the last verse, but I'll start in verse 8. It says there, so this chapter starts off by talking about the rest that is offered by God, a rest that he talks about, a rest from our own works. And the danger of not entering into that rest. And so then he says in verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through the following the same example of disobedience. You know, the number of the passages that I've looked at, and that one of the passages, you look at it here, and one of the passages that I'm looking at and wanted to touch on is a story about Asa, King Asa. And there's so many stories. And one of the things I'd love for you to take away this morning, you know, the author of Hebrews was speaking to the Hebrews, the Israelites, and a lot of them would put their confidence in something, they put their confidence in Moses. And in this case, he was like, he talked about, hey, you know, Joshua, it's true, Joshua brought them into the promised land, this land that God had promised his people years ago. And it's true that, you know, we're here. And that, but he was really trying to emphasize, like, it's not a natural rest that God has in store for us. When Jesus said, I came that they would have life and have it abundantly, that is not, I mean, the Lord, he is a good father, and he does desire to bless his children, I believe, in natural ways. And we see that. We see that right in this testimony this morning, just the mercy of the Lord. We see God's mercy. And yet, at the same time, I think he was warning them, saying, you guys, don't put your confidence in your legacy. And another danger, let's not put our confidence in outward things. And that was the thing that is, you see this, and you see this in so many stories. Through the people, we can make a good show. We can sit here this morning and we can put on a good show of how spiritual we are. And yet, that's not what God cares about. What God cares about is what's happening inside. And it says here, the reason I say this is, look at the next verse. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrows, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And this morning, as we talk about this, what I really want, I want each of us to be willing to say, Lord, do that in me. Expose those things in me that are not pleasing to you, or that are not, Lord, where do you want to change me? Even as Jason prayed, Lord, continue to change us. And let's not think about as the enemy wants, this is one of the traps of the enemy, is this, like, as long as I look good outwardly, well, then it's all good. But that's not at all. This is, if that's our focus, a natural rest or the fact that we look good on the outside, we're missing the point. And that's what he's warning us, is don't miss the point here. It says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Our Father is looking and he sees all. He knows all. And he will judge based on that. But more than anything, it says he desires that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance, would come to eternal life in him. So therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So knowing this, knowing that we serve a God, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's been tempted in all things, you can sit in many, many people over the years, you've probably heard this too, say, you can't relate. And it may be true that individually, maybe we can't necessarily directly relate with somebody's going on, but every one of us is being tempted, but Jesus, above all, Jesus can relate because he has been tempted in all things. As each of us is going through, we can know that he's been tempted in that, and yet he was without sin. So the result of that, therefore, given the fact that we have that in our Savior, it says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That verse has been so such a blessing this week. Just a reminder to me as I've been going through my days. It's like the Lord was just challenging me and encouraging me in the midst of the challenges that life brings. To come and keep coming. And come with confidence, or some say come with boldness. Why? Because he can sympathize. He's been there and he was able to overcome by doing this exact thing. Jesus didn't overcome because he was Jesus and he was the Son of God. He overcame, if we skip forward to chapter 5, it says how he overcame. The exact same way we need to overcome. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared the Lord. The same way we're to fear the Lord. My translation says because of his piety, but I believe a more simple understanding when it says piety. Just he had to fear the Lord, just like we're called to have fear the Lord. He didn't want to sin. And because of that, he would just cry out. He would come. I looked up the definition of supplications. Who knows what that means? You don't have to answer, but I'll give you the definition I read. Somewhere I read it, wrote it down. It's to come with humility, to come earnestly. Just it's different than just praying. It's coming with a heart cry to say, Lord, I don't want to overcome. Think of this testimony we hear. If you're a father or a mother sitting here and you hear your child has had a rollover, and obviously many, like, there's just an immediate thought, but just think of the earnestness. If you haven't seen the scene yet, you don't know what's going to happen. I can only imagine. Just the earnestness, Lord, just to have a mercy, just a cry, a heart cry to say, Lord, have mercy on my child. Think of that and then translate that same longing that each of us would have to see our children naturally healthy. I'm going to say, how much more to say, Lord, save me or save my children or save whatever we're crying out for, that supplication, but to take it seriously for ourselves and say, Lord, in the face of temptation, Lord, save me. The same way Jesus cried out, Lord, save me. I don't want to come into that temptation. And we have a promise. It says that no temptation has overtaken us, but such as is common to man. and that God is faithful. We can rest on this promise. Lord, you're faithful. You promised, I will not be tempted beyond what I can bear. It's going to test us. It's going to try us. But that we would be, brothers and sisters, a body that comes boldly, comes with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And knowing we have an example in Jesus Christ, the same way, this is how he overcame. And it says he was heard because God saw his fear of the Lord. And it's interesting to me, if you go to Psalm 50, I believe it is. Yeah, Psalm 50. You think about each of us, if I were to ask you, do you have a desire to honor our Heavenly Father? I think all of us would say, yes, I desire to honor my Heavenly Father. I desire to bring glory to him. And it's interesting here because it says how we can honor our Heavenly Father. And you're not going to be surprised to know it lines up with what we've been talking about. It says in verse 13 of Psalm 50, shall I eat the flesh of bulls? He's been exhorting the author, but God through the author, Asaph, here of this psalm is basically rebuking them, saying, look at you guys, God is speaking through him and saying, I'm not interested so much in your sacrifice right now. He's like, the cattle on a thousand hills. I don't really need one more turtle dove from you. That's not going to make or break me. I don't need your stuff. Here's what I want. So he says, should I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God, it's interesting the things he says, take note. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And pay your vows. He was saying this, if you've made a commitment to serve the Lord, do that. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back. But then he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. This is what our Heavenly Father longs for. He longs for the fact that in the moment that you're going through a trial, a natural trial like we heard about, and there's many different natural trials, or temptation, what he wants is he wants his children to call on his name. That's what he wants. He says, just call on my name. I long for that. It's a blessing to me. It's what I want. And in fact, you honor me when you do it. Call on my name and I will rescue you. Like you think about the Israelites when they came out, what was his issue with them? He allowed tests to come. A lot of those tests just had to do with natural things, food and water. That was often... Yeah, there was enemies at the start, right, when the Egyptians came out after them. But when they were wandering through the wilderness, most of the time, their issue was just the basic necessities of life, food and water. And their response was typically grumble. Grumble and complain, get mad at Moses and Aaron. And this is what God wanted. He's just like, you guys, all I wanted was for you to call on my name. So you could see that, hey, I will care for you. I will provide for you. And in that, you'll grow. You'll see the faithfulness. It will build your faith. And you'll be he just wanted them, I believe, to be just a symbol to every nation around them of what it would look like, what God could do in a nation, and what it would look like for a nation to just call on the name of the Lord. And now, it's not a natural thing. But what he longs for is to show himself through each of us. If we're willing to say, Lord, I my longing, my heart's desire, Lord, is to be changed into your image, to overcome. And this is how I'm going to do it, Lord. I will not do it on my own strength, full stop, but I'm going to do it because when I'm tempted, Lord, give me a fear of the Lord so that I have a longing not to sin. And when I'm tempted, I'm just coming boldly, Lord. I'm coming with all that I have, with all my prayers and supplications and a heart of thanksgiving. And I'm calling out for grace to help in my time of need. That's what he wants, and it brings glory to him. It's an honor to him. In in Luke, Jesus did talk, so I want to just talk. So what does this actually look like, to come boldly? Let's just look at a couple from, this passage is familiar. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 1, now he was telling them a parable. Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to this judge, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? You want to look, this is, I think, an example of what Jesus was thinking, or God was thinking, when he said, what does it look like to come boldly, come with confidence, with supplications to the throne of grace? Just keep crying out. People have said, you've probably heard this, that I've tried, I prayed, and it doesn't work. That's a difficult thing. That's a difficult thing. It doesn't work. I was pondering on that this morning. One thing I can say in my heart in reference to that is that I believe when we are coming, I think, first of all, I think, what are we asking for when we say prayer doesn't work? And I think in my heart, when I look at this passage of Hebrews, of coming to the throne of grace to find mercy and find mercy and grace to help in time of need, and I would say, first and foremost, let us come boldly to that throne with a longing to overcome sin. I believe, because it does, and I say that because the verse before talks about how Jesus was tempted, how to overcome temptation. Lord, first and foremost, the number one thing, Lord, I want to start with is, Lord, that you would work in my life and bring change in my life. That's where I'm going to start. And when we come boldly to the throne and we come with supplications, I believe we can stand on God's word and say, Lord, you said, if I come asking for grace to overcome in times of temptation, you said you would give it. And so I'm going to hold you to that promise. And we come that way, not in arrogance, coming humbly, but with confidence to trust him in this. I believe with all my heart he'll do it. Now, he may allow times of testing to come. That's why we have this passage which says we got to come day and night, it says. When we're crying out day and night, and will he delay longer than them? I tell you, that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I believe it's real that he may allow time to test our faith, to see, are you serious? Are you going to keep crying out? Are you serious? But we need to keep crying out, and that's where we need to continue to be encouraging one another and building one another up as we talk often, and the blessing we have of having one another. But this is a great example. This is the way we need to be coming to the throne of grace. So when I say that in the context of, I believe with all my heart, and I can testify to this, that as I've cried out, there are things I've prayed for that God has not answered. And probably I could look back and perhaps see in some cases why he's not answered certain prayers. But I can testify to the fact that in the areas of overcoming sin, God has answered those prayers. And there's areas where I long to be further changed. I'm not saying I've arrived. But I can say even yesterday, I faced temptation, and this verse came flooding back, and I was just crying out, Lord, help me to overcome. And you're battling in the mind, each of us. But it's like, Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want to give in to those thoughts, which are not thoughts that I know you want me to have. It's crying out, and we're going to face those temptations, I think, daily. But we have to just be coming and having that longing, that fear of the Lord to say, Lord, and I know, I can say, praise God, he helped me to overcome. It's not our own strength. This is a prayer. God, I believe with all my heart will answer. The other things are, you know, really, there's probably so much more to them. But when I think of this, and if the enemy's saying to you, I don't know if that works, I'm here to say it does. 100%. God will answer these prayers. If you come to him saying, Lord, I long to overcome temptation and to be changed, he will answer that. There's a story in 2 Chronicles about Asa, and there's a few of these great stories. So this story, Asa has, he's serving the Lord. He's a young king, as early as being king. And he's got a big army. But then the Ethiopians come against him with a larger army and chariots. And so Asa went out to meet them, and he drew up in battle array, it says. But this is just the part. And then Asa called to the Lord his God. And the Lord and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come out against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. And I think that's a great example, the way we can come to the throne of grace. Lord, I'm facing temptation, and you know my track record, that apart from you, I can't overcome this temptation. But Lord, I'm coming now with confidence, because you've given me that mustard seed of faith to believe that you can help me to overcome. So I'm coming now, Lord, and for your name's sake and for your glory, help me to overcome. Like, we come with that same heart that Asa had. God is going to answer. For his name's sake, for his glory, he's going to answer. And so he does. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So then later, in Asa's reign, we jump a few chapters later in 2 Chronicles 16, we see another test. Asa was the king of Judah. Baasha, the king of Israel, comes against him. And in this case, Asa knows that Israel has some type of an alliance with Aram. And so he writes to Aram, the king there, and says, hey, I want you to break your alliance. And he actually takes out silver and gold from the temple of God and sends it to him in payment to break the alliance. And so he does. It works. King breaks his alliance and Israel leaves. And then a prophet comes to him and says, hey, because you've relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. We're not the Ethiopians. He's reminding him now. This is probably 30 years later. He's reminding him and saying, hey, don't you remember what happened when you were first king? How Ethiopians came against you and you relied on the Lord, and he delivered them into your hand. And then this is the verse I wanted to read to you. This is a wonderful promise. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. That's the heart of our Father. They're roaming throughout the earth looking for someone whose heart is there, just crying out, Lord, I'm being tempted. I want to overcome. And I'll tell you, it says that he is there to strongly support that brother or sister. If you come that way, the same way Asa came the first time, saying, Lord, I'm powerless, but you are powerful. You've said I can overcome. He is longing to support you in that battle. And he will rout that temptation the same way he routed the Ethiopians. And we see that then Asa's son was someone by the name of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat went through the same tests. And he had the same thing. And in that case, I remember, you know, we remember that story, and it talks about how all these armies came against him, and Jehoshaphat just called a fast. He tore his clothes. He called on the name of the Lord, and the prophet stood up in their assembly and just said, stand by. This battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. Stand by and see the salvation of your God. Because Jehoshaphat, early in his days, had the exact same heart of his father, Asa, called on the name of the Lord. And God saved. Maybe the last thing I would share, just two familiar passages. Most of all, I just really want to encourage us and that we would just have a renewed vision of, Lord, I want, like, maybe it's there. If it is, and this can just encourage you in that, praise God. If it feels like it was lagging of this, Lord, I'm longing for to be pure, just as you are pure, to be holy, just as you are holy, to be changed. Lord, there's areas in my life I hate them. I see the way I am, and I don't want to be that way. Then we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And your Father, your Heavenly Father, is like cheering you on, strongly supports you in this longing of your heart, and he will answer those cries. And the one thing that just Friday night we talked about the end of Romans chapter 1, and it talks about what will happen when we lose sight of the Lord and begin to go after other things and exchange the glory of God for other things. But that all started, and we talked briefly about this, it starts off when we stop giving thanks and we stop honoring God. And it's interesting to me, I say that because when you think of the most familiar passages about prayer, probably maybe the most familiar, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And maybe the second most, you could swap these and you can tell me a different one later. Philippians, when Paul is speaking to the Philippians in chapter 4, he says, let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know, when we are facing tests and trials, why thanksgiving? Why thanksgiving? I haven't really thought about this. So I'll just give you some thoughts. One is, it's because in my heart, when we're giving thanks, what are we giving thanks for? One of the things we can give thanks for is, Lord, thank you for your promises. Lord, thank you to build our own faith, I think. Lord, thank you for the promises. Lord, you've said that I will receive mercy, that I will find grace to help in my time of need. Thank you for that. And because these things didn't slip through his hands. It wasn't like, oh, whoa, you're getting tempted in that. I didn't realize that. That was a mistake. That wasn't supposed to happen today. Like, he's allowed that temptation to come, and it's not more than you can bear, and he's actually wanting to use it for good. Lord, thank you for this. It seems a lot, Lord, but we need to be giving thanks and crying out and just saying, Lord, coming with that heart of thanksgiving, because it's directly tied. And when we stop giving thanks and we stop honoring God, that's the path we read about. You read about it at the end of Romans 1 from verse 18 on. It begins this path of just completely losing sight of God and losing sight of direction, and ultimately we know where it takes us. You can read in that passage, and it's how all this confusion settles in, and we end up losing sight of what is true wisdom in God and thinking things that are truly foolish are also somehow have become wise. It's crazy. You become completely turned around. But it starts with not giving thanks. Anyway, I don't want to lose sight in saying that. That is critical in the midst of this. Let's have that heart of thanksgiving in the midst of our prayers and supplications. But really, what I wanted to emphasize was just the aspect of just crying out. It's really been in my heart this week, and it's been for me, and I've seen that as I've faced some tests at work, and then just the daily temptations that come upon all of us. It's been a wonderful reminder to just be like, man, I need to be crying out, coming boldly to the throne of grace and taking every little test or temptation seriously and just to see God help me to overcome. And I desire that. I think we all could say, yeah, that's what we long for one another and in this body. And that we could be holy just like he is holy. Not because of anything we've done in our own strength, but because we cried out, and just by the grace of God, we just cried out to him and we just saw him just do a work. And we can just say, praise the Lord. What an amazing Father I serve, that he's helped me to overcome in areas that apart from him, I would never, like I was a slave, but he's helped me to overcome. So encourage you with that this morning.